gentlemen, your attention, please.
Mr. President, do we have to listen to any more of this?
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Don't screw around. They're serious this time.
Take it easy. I'm in pre-law, man. Thought you're pre-med. What's the difference?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
What the heck? Is that Pete?
Well, look who it is. My least favorite people ever.
Great to see you again.
Here we go!
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Happy Friday, everybody. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We got a great Friday show planned for you. Andy Mazur, Bradley University Zone, sitting next to me.
I am sitting next to you,
this
and I am Bradley University Zone, yes.
I always like to take a picture when you're in the studio, when we're together. So I send it to Bradley University in hopes that we'll be in the newsletter.
They're going to put it on the pile with the rest of them that haven't made the newsletter.
Why wouldn't they put it online?
You know, that's a really good question. We should investigate that.
Do people look at the newsletter? Because I do, because I want to see how my classmates are doing.
Yeah, I look at the classmates' notes. And,
so if you're in media in Chicago and you're looking good, which I think you look good today,
well,
you have a nice shirt on.
Spectacular as well.
We want to take a picture.
Let's do it.
This is what you do. You get a celebrity in the picture, and then you send it in.
Who's going to join us?
Christopher Knight will be stopping by today. Pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah,
Peter Brady.
I like that.
He married a girl from Chicago a few years ago, and he's here every single holiday.
Nice.
I was on over Thanksgiving. He couldn't come in. He was here for a day, so he's going to stop by on his way to Midway this morning.
Very cool.
Yeah. How about that? Chris Knight will be stopping by around 8:30. We'll talk to Billy Bush. If you follow Billy on Instagram, he got a new puppy. He's going to be on around 7:20. Lou Manfredini. I was texting with Lou last night. We do Lou's first call at 6:20 on Fridays. And I'm like, Lou, I got a bunch of questions for you. He's like, it's a short segment. I take one phone call. I go, it doesn't matter. We'll do the lightning round. I got to ask you about four questions.
Well, haven't you already hijacked his landscaping guy?
I have.
Yeah. He's not happy about that.
Joe Polina.
Yeah, he's not happy
Joe
about that.
Joe is the absolute best. Well, I don't have to go through Lou. You know how everybody wants a guy.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
You know, you want to take care of your lawn. You got a little bit of a lawn.
Don't even get me started on that.
Have you started on that yet?
Please, come on.
We've been on Saturday mornings together with Joe, and he said you got to work on that. You got to trim your trees out front. You got to take care of that stuff.
Do you trim dead trees or what?
Your tree's not dead.
I think one of my trees is dead.
The one in the parkway?
No. Well, there's one near the house, I think.
You can call the city. This is what you do. You call the city now. They'll be out by March. It'll take them 3.5, 4 months to get there.
That's about when I need it out. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And say, can you trim this puppy?
Good planning.
They'll send out a specialist to drive by and look at the tree, and then it'll take another 2 months for somebody to show up.
Yep, that's the tree.
I've been there. It's rough stuff, man.
That's all right.
Anybody do any shopping yesterday, Don Kleppen?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I had to buy food.
I sent you a text this morning. What's going on downtown? Did you get my picture?
I did, and I'm still looking around for why there are barricades on Wacker Drive. I have not been able to see
anything. Yeah, I noticed that, too. Yeah.
There's barricades everywhere downtown. Is that for New Year's Eve? It's got to be.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, just getting ahead of the game.
But really, are people going to be walking around the streets that they have to put up barricades downtown?
Yes, they do. They do.
A lot of jaywalkers.
They do?
Yes.
Because everybody's drunk.
Yes.
Is that what happens?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Also, I went shopping yesterday.
You went shopping yesterday. What'd you buy, Casera?
I got up at 4 a.m. to go to Walmart and Walgreens.
That sounds so painful to me.
Bath sets.
I'd rather stick a fork in my eye than wake up that early.
You know what? It's worth it.
And go shopping.
It's worth it. Because you figure, like, all the bath sets that they put together for the holidays, right? They mark them down 50 to 75% off. So you just go and buy in bulk. And now you stocked yourself for the entire year.
Hmm. I got a Costco gift card. So I'm going to go there. Costco.
That's nice.
I don't know. I feel like now I'm going to spend
4 a.m. at Walmart.
More money. Yeah, because I'm saving money.
That's rough stuff.
Yeah, it was hard to go shopping yesterday because it was so nice outside. I don't want to go into a store.
How about that weather?
Yeah, too.
That was the greatest ever.
It was awesome out there yesterday.
It was so nice. I didn't wear a coat.
Me neither.
Walked my dog for about an hour. God, it was just wonderful.
Did some work in the garage yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to be outside without pain. Was nice at this time.
And it makes you think, should I move to California the second half of my life?
Yeah, it's warmer here than it was in San Diego yesterday.
Yeah, I'll take that. Makes you think, though.
It does.
You know, these winters are tough.
I know. I was there. I was there for
Seven
years.
Right. You lived in San Diego.
And I got to be honest with you, in February, it was really nice to be on a golf course.
Yeah. I think Dave Ennett went out yesterday and golfed.
I think he did.
Yeah.
That's not a, there were a lot of people out. Every course I drove by, there were people out.
How do you know which course is open?
You just drive by and you pray.
And just keep your clubs in your trunk.
You pack your clubs and you keep going.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, you just do the routine, the circuit.
Okay. This is going to be a fun show today. All right, let's check in with Hannah Welker from WGN-TV. Hannah, what are you covering today?
Hey, we're actually covering a fire that happened on Central Avenue. They actually have the streets blocked off between Roosevelt and Douglas right here on South Central Park. It was a multi-level residential building. At least 7 children and adults were rescued from the building. What happened was Chicago Fire actually responded to the call around 4 a.m. It's a 3-story building, fully occupied, heavy fire. They say it started in the back of the building on the 2nd floor, going up to the 3rd floor. And what made it really difficult for them to rescue people was the fire. It was in the stairway area. So when they actually got to the building, there were people trying to jump out of the 3rd floor window. Luckily, no one was injured. They were able to get everybody out of the 3rd floor and the 2nd floor. They had a warning bus here for the folks, but of course, the building is damaged and they're not able to get back in. But luckily, no one was hurt. We're here right now on the scene, though. I know it sounds very dramatic. We were not on scene when folks were jumping, but just the way the battalion chief was describing it, it sounds really dramatic when they got here.
Jeez, man, what a contrast from yesterday when you were covering the nice weather. Now today you're covering that fire.
I know, and it's significantly colder today, so a huge shout out to all the fire crews here. There are quite a lot of trucks, quite a lot of firefighters here, just really thankful that they could help out.
You're right. Thank you, Hannah. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Take care.
All right. That is Hannah Welker from WGN-TV. All right. Something came out yesterday that I wanted to talk about, if I can get this music going. I don't know what...
No. Live radio in effect.
I don't understand why this isn't working right now. Okay. The all-NFC team came out. The all-decade NFC team came out.
A lot of that going around now.
Quarterback Aaron Rodgers made the team.
Not a shocker.
Adrian Peterson made the team.
Okay.
Matt Forte.
Nice. Good to see.
When did Forte? He played how many years?
I think it was...
For the Bears.
Six, seven? I think it was six. I'll look it up.
Oh, here it is right here. 6 seasons playing in the NFC North for this decade. So he went from the Bears to the Jets. That's rough stuff.
Yeah, and then retired with the Bears, I believe.
Right. I saw him at NBC Sports a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Still looking good.
Yeah, looks like he can play.
That guy is solid, man.
Maybe he should play.
And then Lance Briggs looks like he ate Brian Urlacher. What happened to him?
It's retirement, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
He is huge. I couldn't believe that. Kelvin Johnson from the Lions.
Lions, who forever will be known for a catch that he made in the back of the end zone, and they called it a no catch because he did not complete the process of a catch going to the ground. That was a game against the Bears in the back of the end zone.
I remember that.
So that really started a whole bunch of controversy.
You're right. Boy, that started the whole thing, didn't it?
It did, yep.
Man.
We still don't know what a catch is.
We don't.
And never will.
They change that every single year, don't they?
It's a whim.
Okay. Jordy Nelson made it.
Yeah.
Whoa, Jordy.
When Jordy left the Packers, he went to one more team and that was it, right?
Raiders.
Oh, the Raiders.
He got hurt. He tore the ACL and then was really never the same.
Right, and then he just retired immediately after that season.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, tight end for the Vikings, all-decade team. And that was basically your offense. You really don't want to go through the offensive line, do you?
Didn't include many Bears, did it?
It did not.
I didn't think so.
Besides Forte, who else was there on the offense that you want to talk about?
Nobody really.
I'm sorry, Roberto Garza made the offensive NFC offensive
team. Pretty good career, too.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You're going to laugh when I say this. There was another Bear recently that made it.
On the offense?
Yeah.
Jay Cutler, alternate.
Nope, I'm talking about a lineman.
Oh, a lineman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Olin Krutz?
Nope.
That's a while ago.
Yeah. Kyle Long.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
Made the NFC. He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, he came with a lot of hype surrounding him and could never really finish a season, unfortunately for him. I mean, he's got a lot of talent, but just was unable to stay healthy.
He gets injured every single year.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, he seems like a really good guy and a good football player.
It's the family name.
It is. Kyle Long.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very outspoken, and we liked that because it was at a time when he joined the team, no one was really a leader on that team. So he made the all-decade team for the NFC. Defense, Julius Peppers.
Yeah, one-time Bear.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Then he went to the Packers. He had a great career.
He did. Carolina.
Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Went back to Carolina, too.
To retire?
I think he played the last couple of years with Carolina.
Clay Matthews, Packers.
Uh-huh.
Current Ram.
Defensive line, Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh, yeah, from the Lions.
Okay.
And then the Dolphins.
Akeem Hicks made it.
It's good to see.
Nice.
Why should he play on Sunday?
He shouldn't.
No reason.
Yeah.
Other than pride and other than being a prideful guy that wants to get on the football field. That's what he does. That's what he does for a living. Can't blame a guy for wanting to get out there.
Good player, too. We missed him towards the end of the year.
Definitely missed him.
That's the thing. Let's see. Who else? Lance Briggs made the all-defensive team.
Okay.
he was great.
He was a great linebacker.
He was a great linebacker in his prime.
He was.
Absolutely. Peanut Tillman. Made the NFC all-decade team.
Peanut punch.
Got to be on there. Yep. Everybody's doing that impression this year now.
Who is the next Bear to go into the Hall of Fame? Is he on the list, Peanut Tillman?
You know, Devin Hester is probably the next guy that's going to go. But that's because, you know.
Who was that?
Devin Hester.
Devin Hester.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
Best of all time?
Well, it's hard to argue.
He was a game changer.
Oh, a complete game
changer. Exciting to watch.
Every once in a while you saw him on offense, which was interesting at times, but he changed games. I mean, 109-yard punt, extra point return, and also the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl took back for the touchdown.
I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah, I was sitting with Dave Ennett in the stands there because we were covering the game and in the pouring rain, and we kind of looked at each other like,
we got
this. Maybe we got something here.
Right. That's never happened in the history of the Super Bowl.
No.
I went to the Monday night game in St. Louis that year.
Okay.
He ran two back.
Yeah.
You ever go to an indoor game?
Oh, yeah.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Because it was snowing in St. Louis, and you walk inside, you take off your coat.
That was an ugly dome, though. Edward Jones Dome, or whatever they called it.
It was ugly, and I understand. I'm a season ticket holder for the Bears, but when it's dead freezing cold in the dead of winter.
Yeah, the players don't mind. The fans mind.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, actually, some fans don't mind.
But wouldn't you like to have a retractable roof in Chicago?
It'd be nice. You know, just because you have a roof and it's retractable doesn't mean you have to close it during a game. You can keep it open.
Right. But when
you close it, you can have basketball.
In one of Brett Favre's last games, we were at...
I was at Minneapolis. I was outside, and Corey Wooten ended his career, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm
talking about the one here where it was so cold, we had beers, which was a dumb idea, and they would freeze. Your beer was frozen. Yeah.
Beer popsicle.
We paid off an usher to go on the 200 section underneath a heater. So that's it. $20. You got four guys.
There you
go. It's worth it. And you right
take
by
the money and run.
Yeah. Right by a heater. That's nice. Eddie Jackson made the all NFC decade team.
Okay. Maybe a little bit of too much relying on the rookie season. Well, here's the thing with Eddie Jackson. You know, a lot of people were wondering about him this year. People are paying attention to him now. He's game planned for it.
Yep. You're right.
He wasn't last year.
You're right. Mason Crosby, kicker for the Packers, made the all decade team. Devin Hester, return specialist.
Yep.
So he retired in...
This year.
But he played for the... When did he leave the Bears?
He played for the Falcons for a couple of years.
We went to the Super Bowl in 2007. He left in 13, it says here.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, this is the last 10 years. Head coach, who do you think it is?
Holmgren.
NFC.
McCarthy.
Yes, Mike McCarthy, who got fired by the Packers.
Yeah, now maybe resurfacing. He was reportedly interviewing for the Panthers job.
Okay.
Vacated by Riverboat Ron Rivera.
I can't wait to talk to Hamp today.
Hamp's going to be fired up.
We talked to Adam Hoge yesterday. My first two questions, number one, was does Matt Nagy need to give up control of calling offensive plays?
Okay.
Number two, do you sign an extension to our quarterback?
Yeah, these are going to be really interesting questions to be answered in this offseason. I would agree with the fact that the first point, yes, I think he needs to give it up because – there's too much going on as a head coach to take on that responsibility in your
I agree 100%.
First and second year. Just because it worked one year doesn't mean it's going to work every year.
That's an ego thing, too.
It's
you don't want to give up the reins.
It was a little bit of a stubborn kind of a thing as well. But the extension, I don't think so.
You know, Don Kleppen's a Packer fan.
Yeah,
so
I know.
He's loving
ignore
this
that.
Talk.
That's okay.
I'm just, you know, no, I'm listening. I'm listening with bated breath.
Just wait till Aaron Rodgers retires. You'll know what it feels like.
I know.
When's he going to retire?
I have no idea.
I hope.
He's going to ask his State Farm agent to find out.
Right, exactly. I hope that at least 5 years, man.
That dude is making bank. Did you see yesterday he bought a house in Malibu with Danica Patrick?
No.
$28 million, right?
$28 million cash. Here you go.
Let me write you a
Here's
check
a suitcase of money.
Yeah,
or, how does that work?
He's
you write a check?
Too.
$28 million in Malibu with Danica Patrick.
Yeah. Well, it's a win-win at that point.
Wow. Roscoe, Illinois' own Danica Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $28 million.
It's okay.
The Packers are what? What's their record?
12-3, right?
Yeah, right now.
12-3. I'll take 12-3.
I would take 12-3.
And we thought they weren't going to be a very good team at the beginning of the year.
Well, because they had a new
brand,
head coach.
Yeah, brand new coach, new free agents. It was not. It was nothing really expected.
It was not Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball. It was Matt LaFleur.
The Dodgeball memes have been rampant this season.
Oh, it drives me crazy. I'm married to a Packer fan and just so condescending. Well, there's always next year. Well, you guys look good. It was a great fight until the end of the game. Yeah. Well, at least you got a field goal.
There are no moral victories in the NFL.
None.
That's right.
Zero.
Zero. Drives me nuts.
No style points either.
No.
Who do the Packers play this weekend?
The Lions.
That's an easy win.
13-3.
They're going to be 13-3.
Yeah.
And the Vikings are 10-5.
10-5.
So they'll be 11-5 after they beat us in Minnesota.
The Bears have had had their number in Minnesota the last couple of years.
It'd be nice to finish 8-8 instead of 7-9.
8-8 sounds a lot better than 7-9.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's only one game, you know.
I know it is, yes. All right, that's your all NFC decade team. Let's check in with Orion.
Good morning. Fairly light trading day in the markets yesterday for the grains and livestock because a lot of the trading population took a long holiday weekend. But the most actively traded U.S. soybean futures contract moved higher yesterday, and it hit its highest price since June of 2018. This coming because of optimism about the U.S.-China trade talks. And so at the end of the day yesterday, we saw the January soybean contract up a penny a bushel, the March corn contract up a penny a bushel, and the March wheat contract up 9.25 cents a bushel. Again, a lot of that because of light trading volume yesterday. But looking at the sales on the farm to grain merchandisers, spot basis bids for corn and soybeans were unchanged across the Midwest, but grain merchandisers noted a slight pickup in farmer sales of soybeans. And as we said, soybeans settled up 1.75 cents, the highest price since June of 2018, but farmer sales of corn and soft red winter wheat remained thin as well. And in livestock futures trade, the market strengthened as traders adjusted positions ahead of the end of the year. And at the end of the day yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange, April lean hogs were up 35 cents a hundredweight, the December live cattle up 32 cents, and the January feeder cattle up $1.45 a hundredweight. Markets will be trading usual hours today. Have a great weekend. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir, at my friends.
How do you not love C-3PO? Gotta love the guy. He's been in every movie, right? Don Kleppen, who's the Star Wars expert on the show this week.
He has been in every movie. Him and R2.
Star Wars made $32 million on Christmas. On Christmas Day, $32 million in the last 7 days. How much do you think it's made?
Oof.
A lot.
Yeah. I'd say, I'll say 55.
55? Opening weekend, it made $175 million.
Good Lord.
So in the last week, Star Wars has made, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, $500 million. It's going to hit a billion.
Yeah, not a bad chunk of change.
No problem. The time break's over. Yeah.
And it's funny. I think they said before this movie came out, Disney had already made back what it spent in 2012 for Lucasfilm, which was $4
billion. Jeez.
So everything now is profit.
Think about that. That is just what a great investment for Disney. Man. That's rough stuff. I mean, that's great stuff for them. I need to go see with my son Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So that's on our list sometime in the next week before he goes back to school.
Yeah.
Star Wars fans?
Are you talking to me?
Anybody? Andy? Yeah. Have you seen it? I know Don saw it. He saw it on the first day.
That's right.
My first experience with Star Wars was my last. That was in 1977.
You saw the first movie?
Yeah.
And that was it?
I remember waiting in line at Golf Mill Theater.
Come on.
Golf Mill Shopping Center.
Really?
And, yeah, there was no baseball in it, so I didn't care.
Come on.
Wow.
No, I just never got into it. I really never got into it.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm a fair weather fan, but, you got to stay up with the movies.
Yeah, but see, by the time all these extra little prequels and sequels and all,
you
got to
cut
lost.
That stuff
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
The stuff in between. You got to hit the main movies. When you see the main stars, that's when you go.
Yeah.
Cut the fat.
Right.
Get it out of there.
So I was confused. You know, I'm like, well, if I go to see this one, am I going to even know what the heck's going on?
So you didn't know that Harrison Ford bought the farm.
What farm? Was it a good farm? What was it producing?
Tauntauns.
Do they bring him back, Don? They bring everybody back.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but they do bring everybody back. I'll say that there's definitely nods to everyone you want to see.
Oh, so I see a Harrison Ford in this latest movie?
Yes.
There's no spoilers. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody
it's
knows.
It's been out long enough now, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if people haven't seen it yet, they're going to go see it. And if they haven't seen it, that means they're a fair weather fan. Oh, I've been busy. I can't believe Pete told me that. We didn't give anything away.
Right, right.
See, this is what happens. They go up in space. They fight the bad guys and they win.
And something happens.
So they can make another movie.
Totally.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
it.
So.
That is it. As summed up.
Did you guys ride the electric scooters this summer?
Did not.
No. Wasn't allowed. I didn't make my way to the west side where they were only allowed to be ridden.
I saw a few of them abandoned in different places. That
you can drop them in certain spots. You can just leave them on a corner, which seems odd to me.
And trees in people's yards, apparently.
Just drop it on a corner.
Uh-huh.
How about electric bikes? Would you be all for that?
So do you have to pedal? Or not?
We'll talk about that in just a sec. We had electric scooters here in the city last summer. It was a test. Did we ever find out if they're coming back or not? I don't think anyone has said anything.
I haven't heard that.
New York City just said no. Electric scooter rentals will not be coming to New York City, and electric bikes, favored by New York City delivery workers, will remain illegal. Governor Cuomo on Thursday vetoed a bill that would have legalized both types in the city. So would you like to see, electric scooters? No helmet required. I saw a person wipe out in Bucktown. I had somebody on the radio this past summer that did a header into the street. It hit a pothole, did a header into the street.
That's not good.
Did not have a helmet on. Helmet's not required. How about electric bikes? That's like a motorcycle.
I was going to say, isn't that a motorcycle?
Right.
Okay.
You would think.
Because you don't pedal, right?
Yeah, you don't pedal. No, that's why it's an electric bike.
Now, I'm assuming these are going to be a little nicer than like the Schwinns with motors I see on them that people are riding around in the city right now.
Well,
right?
I just assumed it would be a divvy with an electric motor.
Mm.
Because the charging stations, you'll need those, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it'll make noise, if it's like a Prius.
The electric bikes in the city, the scooters, like you said, they were just left everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It looked bad, first
Scattered
of all.
Around.
Secondly, there was no regulation. It's like, get off the sidewalk. You can't ride them on the sidewalk. That was a law. People were still riding them on the sidewalks. You got to have a helmet. They're going to knock their heads open.
Yeah.
And people still ride bikes on the sidewalk anyway.
I know.
So you throw the electric bike in there and, oh boy.
That's not good. No.
Yeah, I mean, can't we just be happy with the divvy? I mean, the divvy seems like it's a pretty popular thing.
Yeah, just pedal.
But think about if you have to get across town and, public transportation, it's got to be quick.
It's not like there's not a ride share or a taxi or a...
You're a delivery worker and you're working downtown in the city on a Friday and you're trying to get across town.
Okay.
What are you doing? You can ride a bike or you can do an electric bike.
Okay. That's
the point.
In the winter.
Yes, that's true.
I think it'll slow down in the winter.
A little bit.
But I'm assuming that we'll see electric bikes here this summer as a little test.
Okay.
Huh. So everybody's against it or for it?
Well, something else to look out for when you're driving.
Boy, I have a problem with bikers in the city.
Well, how fast will these things go? I mean, because if they're you know, over a certain mile an hour, you can't really ride them in the bike lane, can you? You're going to run over all the bikers.
Yeah, good point. You might have to go in the regular traffic lanes.
Which is going to make things a nightmare.
The bike lanes, they ruined Clybourne with the bike lanes. And I understand people who love to ride bikes in this city. I get it. But if I'm following the rules, how come they're not stopping at a stoplight? The biggest problem with bikers is if you're taking a right, you're in your car, you have your blinker on, you're going to take a right. The biker always tries to sneak up on your right. So you have to constantly look in your rear view mirror to see if you're going to clip that person if you're taking a right.
Now, am I imagining this, or when we were kids, didn't you ride against traffic so you could see what was coming your way?
Yes. But I think times have changed.
Well, when did that change? And why did that change? Because I like to be able to see what's coming at me rather than have to kind of look back. And, you know, if you're not a good bike rider, you look back and you end up riding off the road.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have any rear view mirrors on the bike.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Now you put electric bikes in the mix.
Yeah. Just one more thing to add to the roadway.
We're in trouble.
Don's job got much more difficult.
It's brutal. It's going to be brutal. Bike traffic on Dearborn is brutal.
That's not a joke. That's going to happen
if we
bring these bikes to town.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
A little crazy.
Yeah, I got you.
That drives me berserk with the bicyclists in the city.
And can you ride it on the lakefront path? Because it's going to be too fast. You're going to knock over joggers.
Oh, man. That can't happen.
You ever walk on that path?
Yeah. You got to have your head on a swivel.
Wow. It's crazy. Those bikers, they just don't care. You got the serious biking guys.
On your left.
Right. At least they're screaming. Some of the people don't even yell at you. You got to be looking around.
What if you catch some water from the lakeshore, you know, when the wave comes up, is that going to short out the motor on the bike?
See, I don't know.
These are the things they didn't consider.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely covered. So if we do get the electric bikes in Chicago, would you try it?
Yes. Yeah, I would try. I did not try the scooters, but it's mainly because of the location, like, you know.
Because it was in downtown.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm like on the north side, too, and they didn't have them up there either. It was pretty much restricted to the west side, from what I remember, even though they made their way to other places.
Wicker Park and Bucktown, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would try an electric bike, yeah.
Andy?
Yeah, I probably won't.
You're good driving a car?
Yeah, I'm good.
Do you ride a bike? Do you have a bike?
I do have a bike.
Do you ride it?
Only on occasion.
I used to ride a bike in the city, and then I had a kid. And then I started thinking, okay, even though I wear a helmet, people aren't watching out for bicyclists.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Something tells me I'll be riding my bike a little bit more this year because my girlfriend's an avid biker.
She likes to ride the bike.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
This is what happens when I started dating my wife. She's like, I wish you would just drink coffee and run with me. She's a runner.
Mm-hmm.
So I took up running. I hate it.
Yeah.
To this day, I absolutely hate
it. It's an acquired taste.
It's the worst.
Get used to those shin splints.
Oh, it's the worst. And I got bad knees. Hey, let's go for a run on the lake. No, I don't like that.
But it's a great city to ride a bike in. I mean, you go to that path, and it's beautiful.
It is. The path is perfect. Yeah, and now they have two different ones, right? Yeah,
right. They have a bike lane, and you have
Ken Griffin bought the other one, didn't he? Didn't he give the city a few million?
Something like that.
No, seriously, he did. He wrote a check and said, hey, I need a bike path. Here you go. How would you like to be a billionaire? You know, I ride a bike along the lake, and I don't like sharing a lane with the runners, so I'm just going to give a few million to the city so they can build the bike
path.
Build
us a lane.
Yes. Gilded gold bricks, too, by the way. I want to ride on those.
What is the path that goes from Wicker Park to up north?
Is that the 606?
606. Yeah. Now that extends. It's past Irving Park now.
And it's going to go in that Lincoln Yards program, I think, that little project over there, too.
Yeah, that's right. And work it in that. So that was a big movement on Rahm's part, I think.
So does it start? It starts in Wicker Park, and then it stops, and then it picks up again?
No, it goes from Wicker, east to the lake.
Okay.
And then now, I guess, north up to Irving Park.
It does go north because they've been working on that path. If you are on the Addison Bridge or the Irving Park Bridge, you can see a little bridge, a bike bridge.
Underneath, yeah.
Underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going all the way up
right
north.
Right there by DePaul Prep, right?
Right.
There, where there used to be called Gordon Tech.
Right.
Yeah.
Have You've been on that path?
I have not been on that path. I have seen that path.
Boy, people love that.
It's kind of cool.
But I feel like once you get on, how do you get off? Do they have exits along the way?
I'm sure they'll have a couple of exits for you, yeah.
Hopefully.
I don't want to get stuck.
Just break out through the bushes or whatever.
It's like you can't get there from here.
I don't see you two as path guys.
I like the path every once in a while.
Forge my own. That's right.
My brother, when he first got married, Brother Dave, he lived in Ukrainian Village. And he's like, yeah, we're gonna walk over to the 606. I'm like, you're not a path guy. Just walk along the path? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some things to look at, right?
I know, but it just seems like I don't know.
Green pastures out there.
It just seems like wasted time to me.
Oh, you mean like instead cut through people's like backyards?
No, I mean taking a walk one day.
Oh, just in your neighborhood? okay.
Who has time, first of all, to just kind of take a walk?
Well, you know, it depends on what time of year it is.
Yeah,
and
or the
depends
day.
On what's going on.
Yeah.
Right, but do you have time to take walks? Now that you're dating a girl that you really like.
Yeah, not normally.
Finally, Andy finds a girl that he really likes. Now he's going to be taking walks and riding bikes in the city.
Riding bikes, losing weight.
It's interesting how women change you.
Eating vegetables.
it's all good stuff, but also
I love all of this.
A little unpleasant. It's good stuff, yeah. But just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 630 area code. Bikes in the suburbs are the worst. They travel in packs like it's a Tour de France.
Mm.
Don't move in single file when cars come like they're supposed to. I agree. Yeah. If they if we have to follow the rules, they have to follow the rules if they're on the road. Yeah. Burning through stoplights?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Friday, December 27th. Global stock markets are mixed after Wall Street gained amid optimism that U.S.-Chinese trade relations are improving. Frankfurt, Paris, and Hong Kong advanced in early trading, while London and Shanghai were unchanged and Tokyo declined. On Wall Street, the benchmark S&P 500 index and the Dow Jones Industrial Average set new records. Investors welcomed President Trump's comment that an interim Phase 1 trade deal was getting done. China reported higher soybean imports and a possible boost for American farmers. Dow futures right now up 96, NASDAQ futures up 34, and S&P futures up 8 points. And that's a look at the markets early this Friday, December 27th.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 of 6.
What?
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Time for the 6 at 6 at number 1. What a day yesterday. It was a record-breaking day in Chicago. The warmest December 26th ever. The last record for December 26th was 55 degrees in 1971. We hit 61 yesterday. I wore shorts. Anybody else wear shorts?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Much different story 2 years ago on December 26th, 2017. You guys remember that?
Yeah, it snowed, didn't it?
It was 7 above.
Yeah.
It was so cold.
That's closer to the typical, though, right?
Yep. It was so warm yesterday, the ice ribbon rink at Maggie Daly Park closed early. We're looking at 40 today, 55 and rainy tomorrow. I'll take that. Sunny in 59. I'm sorry, Sunday, 59. Light rain, Monday, 37, 36, 40. All right. That's not bad.
Not too bad.
How warm was it yesterday? Number 2 at the 6 at 6. It was so warm yesterday that a group of people were seen jet skiing on Lake Michigan at North Avenue Beach.
Wow.
I put it on my Facebook page. They have a video of it. The trio of best friends said they traveled from the North Shore into the city on stand-up skis. They do it every single year as a holiday tradition, but it was so nice this year, they decided to travel into the city. Jet skiing at 11 a.m., it was around 60 degrees, and they were on the lake. But the lake temperature, it's always cold, man.
38 degrees right now.
38?
The water temperature.
The lake?
Yeah.
Oof. That's, you don't like that.
That's diehard.
Jet skiing at North Avenue. Yeah. The Illinois man who placed crosses after mass shootings retired. Greg Zanis, the founder of Crosses for Losses, has found himself staring down on some of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history. His self-proclaimed duty to place markers bearing the names of shooting victims at the scenes of their deaths has taken him to Sandy Hook, Columbine, and Stoneman Douglas High School has sent him traveling to Orlando, El Paso, Dayton, Las Vegas, and earlier this year back to his hometown of Aurora. 27,000 crosses later, he has retired. And with this warm weather, it feels like spring, but you'll have to keep your Christmas tree up a few more days. The city will accept Christmas trees now for recycling next month, beginning January 4th through the 18th. Trees, Christmas trees, will be accepted without decorations. So when you take down your tree, you got to take all that stuff off, including the tinsel. You can drop it off at 25 parks across the city. The trees will be mulched for use in city parks. Six locations will also give away that mulch for free.
Oh, nice.
So if you need mulch in your yard, Andy Mazur, you can get it from the city free.
Very nice.
First come, first served. Number five, the 6 at 6, sex weakens athletes' legs. Maybe that will help us in the long run. Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick have taken their relationship to a new level. They are now living together in a recently purchased Malibu estate after paying $28 million cash. That is just mind-boggling. So you have $28 million in the bank, and you write a check for it.
It's not a bad way to go.
Good for them. And finally, the 6 at 6. Number 6, wide receiver Allen Robinson on Thursday was named the 2019 Bears Media Good Guy by the Chicago chapter of the Pro Football Writers of America.
It's a high honor.
Yay.
Do you know what this is?
Yeah, I've been around that.
Local reporters vote on the annual award, which goes to the member of the organization who most helps the media do their jobs. Allen Robinson received the award for consistently being available, professional, and engaged with reporters.
Hey, you know what? That's not underrated for those of us that have to cover a team.
Would you vote for him?
Well, I wasn't around there this year, but from all indications,
are you a voter?
No.
Oh.
No, I have no vote.
Okay.
I just have an opinion.
Allen Robinson would be your guy?
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks?
Akeem Hicks, but he was out for 8 weeks.
Right. So Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
So congratulations, the media good guy. All right. That does it for the 6 at 6. Let's take a look at weather. We have Lou's first call. By the way, if you get on the air, we'll set you up with something. 312-981-7200. Lou's first call coming up next. Lou's first call is brought to you by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy efficient windows. Let's bring on Mr. Fix-It. House Smarts Radio every Saturday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on 720 WGN. Lou, I love you.
I love you more, Peter. And I love you, Andy.
Love you too, Lou.
I sent you a list of items. He's like, we can't even get to this. We only have 10 minutes. We don't have time.
Right.
But I do want to ask you about a few things. I got a brand new sump pump. Do I need to get the backup, and how long can I wait to get the backup?
Do you have a finished basement?
Yes.
Then you need your backup this afternoon. I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
There is anybody with a finished basement when you've got a sump pump. If you don't have a backup, you're just really rolling the dice because I'll tell you right now, I'm sitting in my house right now. The entire block is out of power. Okay. So this morning at 2:30 in the morning, we wake up and the power's out, and it's been out since that time. Your sump pump that you have will not run in the situation I'm in right now. And if it was raining right now, you'd have a flooded basement. So, you know, I get it. People are like, oh, it's so expensive and this and that. But let me tell you, nobody has flood insurance. If you do, it's a rider that caps out at $10,000, and $10,000 goes like a click of the fingers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I need to get it. Can you recommend one?
Well, I mean, there's do-it-yourself products you can buy out there that are, you know, probably all in are going to cost you about $1,000.
Okay.
That you can buy at the hardware store. Basement Watchdog is one of them. The ones that our sponsor PermaSeal puts in professionally are, in my opinion, more durable. They cost a little more because they're professionally installed.
Right.
But the key element whenever you're choosing a sump pump is the pump, the backup pump, has to move the same amount of water as the primary. Some of the cheaper ones, people are like, oh, I'm just going to do this for $500. It's like a bilge pump on a boat. And so when the water's pouring in, if it can't keep up with the same volume of water, you're literally just wasting your money.
Got it.
You might as well send me the $500.
Okay, second question. Heated pavers on the front step. Or in the front walk. My neighbor has heated pavers. I don't know why I didn't think of this when I repaired my pavers 2 years ago.
I had a neighbor that did that a couple years ago, and I got a bunch of the school kids together as a joke, and I made signs up that he was like, you know, he was killing jobs, you know, like neighborhood kids to shovel walks. And yes, like we picketed in front of his house one winter morning, which is pretty funny. I'll tell you what, the heated driveways, heated pavers, it's awesome.
Right.
It is not an inexpensive proposition to install. And it's also not an inexpensive proposition to run because they use glycol in it so it doesn't freeze inside the line. You have a separate boiler, typically, that runs. You know, it's typically either an on-demand water heater or it's a separate small little boiler that circulates the water through. On a day like today where, you know, it's a little bit warmer, you know, it's usually set around 35 degrees or so, and the thing kicks on because the idea is we need time to heat up so the ice doesn't stick. But it runs all winter long. Yeah, it's great. I think that, you know, if you're someone that's worried about falling or if you don't have the physical capacity to do the kind of shoveling that you need to do,
right,
it makes a lot of sense. But we're talking about, it all depends on the size of the driveway, Pete, but it's probably a $5,000 to $7,000 installation.
Oh, I thought it was much cheaper, but it makes sense because my neighbor's loaded. No wonder he did it. I don't want to monopolize Lou's time before we take his first caller in the morning. Andy, do you have any questions for Lou? Because I have a few more.
See, I usually handle my Lou questions off the air via email.
Andy
texts me whenever he's got a question, and I'm very responsive.
Yes, he is.
My sister Mary was over last night. She lives in Naperville. She wants a Ring doorbell at both doors. The front door is wired. The back door is not. Is there any way that she can do this?
Sure, because the Rings are all wireless, and so you don't need to... you don't need to wire it. Also, Brohn Newtone makes a wired system, their version of the Ring. What's nice about that is on her wired doorbell on the front, you can piggyback that unit onto that, and then it gets its power from there. You know, the one knock of the Ring doorbells is that you do have to recharge the batteries, and so you got to, you know, the app will tell you when it's low, and it's usually like every 3 months, maybe 4 months.
Okay.
You got to pop the battery off and plug it in like you're plugging in your cell phone battery. It's really not a big deal. But Ring also gives you the ability to take those wired, the hardwired button that your sister has, and you can wire that into their system to keep at least the front one charged. And then the battery in the back, you would just have to charge that one, you know, like I said, every 90 days or so.
I have a Nest system. What kind of video doorbell should I use? Do I get
Nest makes their own version of a video doorbell that integrates into their system. You know, part of the problem with all these systems now is that nothing's consistent and everybody wants you to go to their platform.
Right.
By far, Ring is probably, I mean, they were one of the first, and their integration, in my opinion, I've got nothing to do with this company, but they have a security system. All their camera systems are super easy to install. They all talk to each other, and they even have a system set up within the community now that if events are going on, you can see what's going on in the neighborhood, and you can even within your neighborhood set up almost like a network that, let's say somebody's breaking into cars, all the doorbells will follow these people around the neighborhood.
You're kidding.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, with the capturing the video,
right,
it really is some smart technology, and it's affordable. I mean, that Ring doorbell not on sale is $199.
Right. So you're saying get the Ring, don't get the Nest.
Well, for you, Pete, I mean, the Nest would integrate into your thermostat. I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, do you talk to your thermostat? Do you say, hey, buddy?
I do.
How about 72 degrees?
I do. I look at my thermostat, the smoke alarms, everything is hooked up.
So I would do the Nest and stay within that integration. But for your sister, if she's got nothing at this point, I'd start with the Ring.
Boy, this is some good information today. Wow. All right, it's time for Lou's First Call.
Hello.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
All right, let's go to Marianne. Marianne, you're Lou's First Call. What's your question for Lou?
Okay, Lou, good morning, you guys, and thanks for taking my call. Okay.
Good morning.
I live in a townhouse, okay, and 5 years old. Out in Naperville, okay, and it's a laminate floor. And when they put it in, naturally, I thought it was great. But what happens in the winter when the temperature goes down, it splits in certain areas. My understanding is probably when they put it in, they didn't warm it like you're supposed to, bring it to the temperature of the room before they laid it. So it's like they didn't, I'm not exactly sure what they didn't do, but it splits by the doorways and in the kitchen, and it's very annoying. And I don't know if it's worth fixing. In the summer, it goes back together. It's a floating floor, which I didn't realize at the time either.
Okay, Lou?
So, laminate floors are all floating floors, and with laminate, unlike real wood floors, there is no need to acclimate the product with the room. I mean, literally, if they drop the boxes off and it's there for a couple hours, you're good to go. But that separation that you have, my guess is that the quality of the laminate that they used wasn't the greatest. And so that tongue and groove that keep the boards together has just, it was just a weak groove that during that expansion and contraction, the floor will always expand and contract, but it should not split whatsoever. Now, if the floor still looks good and you happen to have several, hopefully a few pieces left, you can have a professional come out and repair all those areas so that it's more consistent and you don't get that kind of separation. I mean, if it's still in good shape, then that it would be worth the investment. It's a $200-$300 service call. But if the rest of the floor is looking a little, you know, wow, I think I might want to replace it, then you may want to consider doing, you know, the new evolution of these floors now are luxury vinyl. And those are more consistent. They're thicker mill. They're 100% waterproof. They do also expand and contract, but it's a far superior product to laminate that was very popular in the 90s and in 2000s.
House Smarts Radio, tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m., Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. You're the best. I'll be listening tomorrow. Thank you, brother.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
720 WGN. Happy Friday. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Andy Mazur and I usually work New Year's Day together, and we have a life coach, Gina Murata, who is just the best. She comes in and helps us set our goals for 2020 and gives you a list of what to do to set goals.
Mm-hmm.
Are you setting your financial goals for 2020?
Hope to have money to spend.
But you have to set financial goals.
Oh, I got you.
Like, number one, get your credit in check. Do you know your credit score?
I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got a guy, David Hochberg?
I got other, you know, sources. No, I got
sources. The Hawk will look it up for you.
Yeah, I got things.
He'll do it.
I got sources.
He's around the station. Yeah.
I know. I hear him.
Show on Saturdays. He'll do it.
Yep.
He'll look it up. You get your taxes done early? How do you do your taxes?
I file extension because I have some things that are not done until the end of September.
Now I think there's something going on in your life.
No. My dad's a CPA.
Get your taxes done early. Like it or not, tax season is coming up quick. Each year, far too many people make the mistake of waiting until the last minute to get all their paperwork together. Yeah. That happened to my wife and I. We are early. We like to get it done early. We like to put all our paperwork together in mid-January or by the end of January and get it in. Get it to our guy. Last year, we waited until like a week before.
Ooh.
There was a lot going on.
Blood
a lot
pressure.
Of moving parts, a lot of freelance stuff. See, I was waiting for documents.
What I'm talking about, right?
But I didn't have to file for an extension. Why did you have to do that?
Because, you know, it gives you a little extra time to get everything together. It's legal.
I know it's legal,
so
but...
You're looking at me like I'm doing something illegal.
Why don't you get it together now?
Because some of the people that I need to have the information from don't have their information until September.
Sounds shady to me. It does. Now you're sounding like Kleppen.
I'm not a Packers fan.
You know, but it's shady.
Sorry, Don.
Hey, I pay my taxes.
We all know that you have a dark side somewhere, Don.
Yes. Well, I keep that open. I keep that. That's the side that I show the world, actually.
Setting financial goals for 2020. Do you set a budget for yourself?
I never usually do, but I think I might have to.
Set a budget?
Yeah, I've had the disease lately called spenditis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you have a girlfriend now.
Well, yeah, and I like to buy myself gifts too.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know? I see other people getting gifts, so I want to get one for myself. And I have a hard time putting a cap on that.
Okay,
so to speak.
Got it. Don, do you set a budget?
Mm,
No, it sounds like a great idea, but no, I never have.
James Sears, we found out yesterday, has four kids. James, do you have a budget?
We try to stick to a budget. Easier said than done, though.
Right. Okay. We're the same way. We try to set a budget, but there's things that pop up throughout the year, especially when you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like James, who has four.
Yep. School stuff.
Yeah.
Sickness.
Yep.
Yep. Field trips.
There's always something.
Clothes.
Or
clothes. Yep.
Car breaks down. Got to buy a new car. Got to get it repaired. But they say set a budget because you will exercise discipline. You won't go out and spend when you see something.
Don't be so sure.
Or when you go on Amazon. Oh, I'm kind of bored. I'm just going to go through my phone, go on Amazon. Oh, this looks nice. You have a budget. You're not going to pop that. You know, that's the great thing about Amazon. Mm-hmm. Two clicks and you have it, and it'll be at your house in 2 days.
Not even 2 days
you
sometimes.
You need to exercise discipline. Okay?
Okay.
Think about that.
Thanks for the pep talk.
Financial goals. We'll run through a few more of these coming up. 647, talking about financial goals for 2020. This is the wrong group to talk to.
You figured that out quickly, didn't you?
Get your credit in check. Get your taxes done early. Set a budget. That's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because with these apps now and the two click, simple. Make a savings goal for yourself at number four.
I usually do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I do that one.
Yeah, try to save how much?
A percentage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do that. Put that down, Pete. Okay. Save some money. Five, pay off bad debts. You got to pay those off, man. High interest rate, credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of them. Transfer them over. People are like, it's too much work. Think about it. If you're paying 20, 30% interest, my Chase credit card went up to 27% interest.
I think we have the same card then.
I paid it off and I cut it up. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. There's so many credit cards out there. Then I have one at 5% now. I think it's Citibank.
Wow.
5%. I went from 27 to 5. You can do that. Plus, you can transfer it over. It's simple. Just Google it, and 17 come up right away. And six, research new companies to invest in or have your financial planner help. You can do that.
I will be doing that.
Setting goals for 2020, use the SMART approach, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time sensitive. So specific, get down to the nitty gritty. What do you want to do? So if you'd like to drop 24 pounds, what are you going to do? You have to lose 2 pounds a month, right?
Good point.
And you got to keep it off. So you got to set specific goals, measurable. If you want to pay off $24,000 in debt, that means you're going to have to pay off $2,000 a month. Okay? Measurable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's measurable.
But and I found out from Hawk when he was on the show that most people have $20,000 to $30,000 in credit card debt.
Oof.
Whoa.
So if you need to pay that off, you got to start chipping away, man. You got to get rid of it. Transfer it over. I'm sounding like a money guru now.
Yeah.
Transfer it over to a low interest credit card and
you're
start chipping away.
You're way too calm to be a money guy.
Yeah, you got to jazz it up a little bit.
Really?
I don't know how much anagrams help me. I was just thinking about that, you know, S-M-A-R-T. It's like now I've got to think. Now I got to remember what all five letters
stand
for. Oh, man,
I can write it out for you.
That would be, I need it.
Achievable. Reference. Make sure your goal is realistic.
No,
there you go.
I set lofty, unachievable goals.
So if you have $24,000 in credit card debt and paying $2,000 a month isn't going to work, how about $1,000 a month and we'll pay it off in 2 years? What is this crew?
And
I got the JV squad this week.
Wow.
S-M-A-R-T. Are relevant. Does the goal fit with the overall plan you have? Does it fit in your plan?
Everything fits in my plan.
You have to think about that. And what is your why? What is your why? You need to find out your why.
Why?
Why?
What an interesting question.
I want to go on dates with my spouse twice a month to invest in and strengthen our relationship.
Oh,
that is a relationship why. You got to find out your why.
Okay.
Why do I want to pay off my credit card? Because my interest rate is too high. I need to pay it down. I don't want to have all this debt. Yes. What is your why?
Seems smart.
What is your why?
I can get behind that. That's a find a real reason.
Yeah, that's a deep question in life. What's your why? Where are you going with your career? What's your why?
I like it.
Andy, we're going to have these questions from Gina on New Year's Day.
I'm telling
you, if you wake up early on New Year's Day, it's a great show. Gina is so good, and she makes you think. What's your why?
Yeah,
why are you doing this?
I talked to her for an extended period of time.
You did a private session.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
She made me put together my plan for my life.
Oh, yeah.
So you put it, you just sit down and you start typing, and she gives you specific things to talk about.
And if you do it wrong, she'll help you correct it.
And it took me a month to finally sit down and do it, and I finally did it. Yeah. And once you sit down and start doing it, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, I can fix this. It's not as bad as I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think.
Truth always lies somewhere in the middle.
It does. And finally, the T in SMART, set a time limit. We all need time limits.
Oh, yeah. Deadlines are, they are good.
Think about how well you work with deadlines. Someone said, okay, you lose 20 pounds by the end of February, I'll give you $1,000. What are you going to do?
Lose 21 pounds.
Stop eating.
And hope for a bonus.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Deadlines. We all need deadlines. Yeah.
Because otherwise you just keep pushing it back.
Oh, yeah.
Love pushing it back.
That's the thing when you're married. Your wife's like, you got to get to this. Well, when? Tell me when. I need to get to it, and I'll get to it. What's the cutoff date? Okay?
That's right.
That's how it works.
Otherwise, just keep hitting that snooze button.
Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-sensitive. SMART. Do I need to write this out for you, Don?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. That's the one I remember.
What have we learned this morning about setting goals in 2020? Let's do a whip around. Andy, what have you learned?
Are we doing anagrams for 100 here? I got a good one.
What have you learned? You need to set goals.
Yeah, you need to set goals and have a realistic timeline to achieve those goals.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, Don?
Yeah, I like the deadline, and I also learned I need to set a plan. I need to sit down and plan out my life.
When do you do that? Can you do it before Wednesday?
Yes, actually.
Are you working New Year's Day?
Not here, but yes.
Not here?
Nope.
Okay. You should be tuning in then.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will listen. I need that advice. I need that crucial life advice.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Billy Bush, the host of Extra, around 7:20, and then Hamp, the Bears' final game of the season.
I think for those guys, it couldn't come soon enough.
You know,
I'm not sure that OB has a voice left.
I follow them, or I'm before them on Sundays, and I see them every single week, and they're angry. OB is angry.
Well, you know, they have a right to be. These guys, they gave it all for that franchise.
They did.
Yeah. And they expect excellence, or at least getting to that point.
Right. OB was a defensive lineman, right? He was on the 63 championship
63 team.
So both of these two won championships with the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
So they have a vested interest in the Chicago Bears, and they're passionate about it.
I was going to say, they speak from the heart.
They do.
They speak loudly from the heart, but they speak from the heart.
So we'll talk to Hamp around 7:40. It's 7:20 WGN. Getting some text messages. By the way, if you want to call the show or text the show, our number 312-981-7200. Your text messages come up on a huge screen right in front of us. It says here, if you're late on credit card payment, your percent will jump up. 815 area code. That's exactly what happened to me. I was still at 19%, but it jumped up to 27. I was late one day on a payment, and it jumped to 27, and that's when I said, what am I doing? And you notice that it's 19%, and you can get a credit card for 5%. Yeah.
Do the math.
423 area code. Pete, you and your wife are both employed, and you have credit card balances? Why don't you pay them off? Well, we did, 423, and sometimes you got to pay for different things. My wife had a $500 expense on her car. Okay, I don't have 500 cash, so I put it on a credit card and I paid off at the end of the month or the following month. But I'm at zero right now. I'm at a zero balance on my credit cards.
Good.
And I like to keep it there. Before I got married, had zero credit cards. I had a debit card. I never had a credit card until I got married. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I like that. So you go to Vegas and some somebody has to put the credit card on their room. You can't use a debit card.
Very true.
Yeah. So I give the guy cash. I like to pay everything in cash.
When you can trash the room, it's on his credit.
Cash is king. Nobody does that anymore, do they?
Do they trash rooms in
Vegas?
Yeah, like I know that.
If it's on somebody else's card, for sure.
Trash it. Yeah. You don't spend any time in the room in Vegas.
Well, if you're doing it right, you're not.
I go to Vegas every single year for the last 20, 25 years. Every single year. Sometimes multiple times a year. I absolutely love it. Have never trashed a hotel room.
Well, I hope not.
Or been even close to.
Okay. I've heard the stories, but not about you.
But you're not in your room.
Well, you shouldn't be.
And they don't want you in your room.
No, because Vegas was not built on winners. They want you in the casinos gambling and losing.
Or spending money at the pool.
That too.
A lot of booze at the pool. It's all about the pool scene, Andy. You'd love it. You'd rock
pool
it.
Pool scene, good.
You got to trim up that chest and head out to Vegas. You got to take a one guard to that thing, wait a few days, and it looks natural.
Lord.
That's how you do it.
Help me.
Maybe we should all trim up for the new year, too, for the New Year's Day show.
That sounds like a 2020 goal, right?
Is there an anagram for that?
All right. We'll talk to Billy Bush, the host of Extra. Something happened to him over the Christmas holiday. We'll talk to him around 7:20. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. You know, Thursday is a big day for a lot of people. New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go dry in January. Is anybody going dry here on the show?
I am.
Now remember.
Of course you are.
Remember, dry martinis don't count.
Man, that would make it a lot easier.
I would think that Andy would go dry in January. That seems like something you would do.
I'd like to have a beer every now and then.
Okay.
I even had a beer last night.
On a Thursday?
One. Oh, yeah.
I guess I did too.
Didn't need a reason.
Yeah, that's right. On a Thursday.
So you go dry every January? Why?
No, this is my first time. I've never done it before.
Why?
I actually wanted to do it in October. Just, it feels like a good, you know, something to take a break and sort of detox and reset your tolerances and all that stuff.
Try January. Those are the reasons. To reset for the year, give your body a break, and save a little money.
Saving some money when you go out. And then cutting out alcohol, I mean, for a month... I mean, you can plan to drop like 5-10 pounds just from doing that.
Can't do it.
Not at all?
I mean, I can, but no. I'm going to Mexico in 2 weeks with five other guys.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Three days.
Totally.
What do you think we're going to do?
Tequila.
Right. Experts say just after 1 week without alcohol, it will change your body in small ways. Depends on how much you were drinking before. Are you a heavy drinker, Don?
Well, I'm from Wisconsin.
Act like I'm your doctor and you're there for a physical, so you can lie. How many drinks in a week, Don?
Too many. I would say, it's up there. It's a high number.
It's a high number. I always lie to my doctor and say,
socially.
You know, 3 or 4 a week, maybe.
Socially, yeah.
Do you have one a night? No, I don't have one a night.
And I wouldn't even say it's one a night, but it's like, you know, the nights that I do, it's usually not one, so it kind of, you know, adds up over the 7 days.
I mean, I'm married, so there's certain pockets where I can drink. I'm a binge drinker. I'll admit it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I like to day drink. I'm a big day drinker.
It's the best.
That is the best.
Like today, I'll meet some buddies around 3:30 or 4 o'clock. I'm home and in bed by 8.
Yeah.
Because we wake up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard a quote yesterday that kind of has been sticking in my head, which is that 6 p.m. is the 3 a.m. of day drinking.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to your body? You're going to have decreased stomach irritation, better sleep, and you'll probably exercise more because you want to take care of your body.
And you're frustrated because you can't drink anything.
Sleep quality can show a huge improvement in just 7 days. So the first week, we need to check in with you because you're going to find that you're sleeping better.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
So good for you for having a dry January.
Yeah, I got dinner plans on the 1st, and I know that that's going to be my last day.
Oh.
And then I'll go, and then
you can't do that.
January.
That is January.
What if I go until February 1st through it? You know, the full 31 days.
You're going dry January. You can't drink in January. You already blew it.
Gone, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I have dinner plans when?
On the 1st. Just after the work day.
Well, just don't drink. Why do you have to drink?
Yeah, I guess, well... It's just it's because we're out, and it's the group that I'm out with.
What do you mean it's the group that you're out with? Tell them that you're having a dry January.
Yeah, I guess I guess I'm going to have to, because
it's all about abstaining.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
I know, it is. And I've been thinking about it, and I've been trying to go back and forth, like, well, I can do it if I just go one extra day in February. But
that's,
you're right,
that's dry January and plus one day in February.
Yes, you're right. And and then if I do it, I'm shattering the whole thing the first day.
That doesn't have the same ring. Dry January and first day of February.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It doesn't count.
Yeah. No, it doesn't count.
Dang, that'd be tough to put on a t-shirt.
He was already working it out in his head. Well, if I drank once on January 1st, I can do it. One other time's not going to hurt.
Yeah, you see? This is why I drink. It's all this. It's this math. Can't do it.
You're going to see some body changes, so good luck with that. I love posts like this. You can follow our old friend at Billy Bush on Instagram. There's a great video when his daughter surprised him on Christmas morning with this.
Okay, Dad, Merry Christmas.
Sorry, this is the one we got you.
Guys, what? Whoa, what is this? You're kidding me. No, hi.
It's Billy Bush, everybody. Congratulations on the new puppy.
Oh, buddy. The new puppy's... I kind of freaked out the first night, like, can I handle this? I'm like a single guy. You know, my ex-wife is half a mile away, but, you know, it's a lot of work, Pete. You got to go to work, and something tells me this pup might be growing up on the air. I don't know. I might have to bring the pup into work.
Well, explain to me about the new puppy. Was there a stuffed animal before the video, before your daughter started running the video? They gave you a stuffed animal, and then the live animal came out?
It's a classic everybody knew but me, you know, last to know. And they're always keeping secrets, you know, and then as you play it back in your head, you kind of see, oh, okay, there was that. And then they handed me a lint brush, you know, the night before. Just keep this. It's good for you.
Okay.
Why would you give me a lint brush? Am I shedding? What's going on? You know, all these little clues.
Right. Well, I love
them. So then they bring the puppy in, and of course, they don't think about the things like when you travel, you got to get the health certificate. And so I end up 20 minutes later. On Christmas Eve, in the vet with the puppy, going, "What am I doing? God help me!" Well, I'm like, "No, Daddy's happy. Daddy's so happy."
Of course. You were legitimately surprised, Billy. There are no more surprises in this world, and they got you on this one. I loved it.
Oh, they completely got me on this one. By the way, the little guy is a trim. His name is Ollie, and he's 8 weeks old now, a golden retriever, and he sleeps just perfectly. Just. Middle of the night, you know, middle-aged guy. I go to the bathroom, so I take Ollie. He goes with me. And come back. And, you know, this morning, I thought I had it this morning, Pete. I really had it. I was perfect. I took him out on the patio. He went pee-pee. I'm like, perfect. I'm going to take him in, give him some food. And right as I'm making the food, big dump right on the carpet in the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
Can't win them all, Pete. Can't win them all.
It's great having a puppy again, isn't it?
It really is. It's exactly what I needed. But anyway, we're going to work it out. So, Ollie's the best.
How do you work it with the puppy when you leave very early in the morning?
God, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know, Pete. I don't know.
Well, you got to figure that out.
I think I'm going to have to talk to the show and get up a little earlier, get Ollie squared away, and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I've got a tremendous assistant who's a great guy, and between the two of us, I think I gotta find a dog bed and bring him into the office. Maybe he grows up he's just around.
Is there any rules against dogs on the Fox lot?
Well, it's not the Fox lot. It's a lot called the Burbank Studios, where the old NBC, where Tonight Show used to be.
Oh, okay.
So, actually, the guy that owns the lot, who's our landlord, is actually a friend of mine. So maybe I start with him and say, can you give me a waiver for a dog on the grounds?
Right.
Which he'll probably do. And then I go and say, listen, I've gotten it cleared. Are you guys okay with this? And, I mean, he'll be a bit of a distraction to the workforce, I think. you know, it's okay. It's one of those ADD crazy businesses that I'm happy to be back in. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. But if people haven't seen Extra, you show a shot of the morning meeting when you all get together and throw ideas. Are we going to see Ollie, your new puppy, in the morning shot?
Sitting there with his little glasses on?
Yes.
Taking notes?
Yes.
Possibly. Possibly. Maybe Ollie's just sitting in my office waiting for me to come in, because we film in my office, too. He's around.
I don't think
he'll be in every shot, but I got a feeling he'll be make an appearance a couple times a week, enough to let people know he's there.
Boy, people love dogs, man. They love puppies. Boy.
He's ratings. I'm just going to hold him while I say it. Good evening, everybody.
Well, you put it on Instagram.
Watch the needle move.
Thousands of people watching the video and so many comments underneath. Oh, my gosh, this is tremendous. Billy, welcome back
people
to Having a Dog. Yeah, oh, yeah. They do. We're talking with Billy Bush. I mean, dads are very hard to buy for. I mean, you golf, you ski, and you do calf races. That's about it.
Yeah. I don't even need to do calf races. I told you this.
Here it is. Here it is, folks.
My calves are so impressive.
Here it is.
Erica, here it is. That I told you, in life, there are the calves and the calf not.
Yes.
You either have them or you don't. You go to the gym and you see the guy, and he's got the big upper deck and the big body, and he's looking good.
Right.
But he's got the pin calves.
Yeah.
And you know what drives him crazy? Those little pin calves. He can do a million calf raises. It just doesn't matter. You have them or you don't.
When you come to Chicago, we're going to invite listeners to come out so they can just stare at your calves because you love talking about your calves.
I think I might do a calf signing. I don't know. We'll see.
I would love to see that. That's nice. And by the way, are you off extra until the end of the year? How does that work?
I'll be off. I've pre-taped a few things. So if I'm gonna let you know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
I will come. My first day back at work will be the Golden Globes.
You're kidding. Wow, you just started this job. I know, but you just started this job, and you have that much time off?
I'm already wiped out.
Oh, that's
nice. I'm already wiped out, man.
Uh-huh.
So I'm taking the kids. We got a beautiful little thing happening here. We're skiing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a great – all our old friends are up here in Park City, and we just have the greatest time.
That's awesome. Your girls love you, man. They just worship the ground that you walk on. I have a son who loves his mother. Dude.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're super tight, Dave. I taught them to ski myself since they were 3 years old, so it's a real joy now at 48 to just bomb the mountain with them right in tow. You know what I mean? It's really awesome. A great feeling.
That is awesome.
And by the way, any parent who's taught their kids to ski knows it is brutal getting there. I mean, the flailing around on the ground, the crying, and the.
Oh, yeah.
So now you get to reap these rewards.
Right, of course.
Hang in there, I tell all the young parents. Hang in there.
Hang in there, just like me. Congratulations on the new pooch, Ollie. I'm sure we'll see him on Extra. And you have a great New Year. What are we doing? What are we doing for New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve is the standard move every year. My buddy from Chicago, Jeff Kimball, a Lake Forest guy.
All right.
Jeff Kimball is a legend. He puts on a beautiful... makes the reservation for the 20-person dinner downtown, and then the Class 3 explosives go right off his front deck.
Really? In downtown Park City?
We just have a huge fireworks show. It's fantastic.
How come I've never met Kimball?
Don't know. He's not in Chicago now. He's in D.C. now. He's just born and raised, and he's Chicago stock.
I like that.
Got a little bit of Ed in there, you know what I'm talking? Not the little, Bradson, old Ed old thing, but, a little bit. Just a tint. Just a tint.
Still has the Chicago accent.
Absolutely, just a little tint.
I like it. Billy, it's good to talk to you, man. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
What did you get, Pete? What did you get for Christmas?
What did I get for Christmas? I got some ear pods.
Oh, God, those are great.
And some clothes, some workout clothes, which I need. It's perfect.
Well, you got a beautiful body, so I mean, I've always said that. So
thank you.
These clothes will just inspire you to keep it chiseled and waxed.
I'll do you got to wax it up. Maybe I'll do a wax signing sometime soon. When you come in, the calf signing, I'll do the wax signing.
Absolutely.
It's Billy Bush, everybody.
See what happens.
Thank you, brother.
All right, baby.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all. Bye-bye.
Pat Tomasulo is never in this read.
He's kind of a wild card.
Pat is on the show Monday, plugging his New Year's Eve show, which he's done a few times on this station. I said, I need tickets to give away. So at 8:30 Monday morning, we'll have tickets to Pat Tomasulo's show and Pat himself. My former neighbor.
Oh, you're giving away Pat Tomasulo too? Is that what you said?
I'm going to give away Pat Tomasulo, my former neighbor, and tickets to his New Year's Eve show. Thanks again to Billy Bush. We all love our dogs, don't we?
If I had one, I would love it, yeah.
We love our dogs. I have a pooch. Scott behind the glass said he just got a puppy. We love our dogs. Maybe it's because it's guys and their dogs. It's unconditional love.
Yeah. Always happy to see you.
Always. Can you imagine if your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend was that happy when you walked through the door? I mean, my dog is so happy to see me. It's like, this is so fulfilling. This moment right here. I wish my wife would just give me a 2% of it. She's probably listening right now, dropping my son off at basketball. She's like, what is he saying? We've been married over 10 years. We don't do that anymore. That doesn't happen. Yeah. But we love our dogs. That's good stuff. Coming up, we're going to talk to Hamp. He's always brought to you by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Chicago Bears play Sunday. It's a noon start in Minnesota.
Yes, sir. Final game of the year.
What's the line on that game?
I haven't looked it up. It's one of these things here because the Vikings are locked into their playoff spot.
They don't care.
And they may not play a lot of their starters a lot of the game, so it's kind of a difficult one to wager, if you will.
Don't you want to go 11-5, though? They're 10-5 now.
Yeah, they'd like to play some good football going into the playoffs. Bears, of course, trying to at least get to the even mark.
I was talking with Ennett yesterday on the air, and we were talking about the Bears. And Adam Hogue was on at the time. Mm-hmm. And the anger that I have for the Bears this year.
There's a lot of that going around. There are really huge expectations at the beginning of this year.
It's not disappointment, it's anger.
Yeah.
I get angry when we talk about it.
Yeah, you kind of cross the line between disappointment and anger after a real tough stretch where they lost four in a row. And then you start to lose hope a little bit at that point. You know, they rallied and won three games in a row. And then, you know, kind of, it was a real streaky year.
When you think of sports moments of the year, they were talking, they were doing this on ESPN TV last night. What are the two that come to mind?
Wow. It's hard to even think about that. I haven't even
Tiger Woods and Double Doink, for me.
Yeah, you know, Tiger Woods was...
And the Women's World Cup.
Was tremendous. That was a great, great thing.
Those are your top three.
Yeah.
The Double Doink. That's how we started 2019,
I know,
man.
I don't know if I would put that in my top moments. I would put that in my bottom moments.
Do you remember that, though?
I remember very well. I remember saying before the kick that he wasn't going to make it.
Oh, boy. Now I'm angry again. I'm going to get angry in a few minutes.
I was going to say you're going to get really angry because Hamp is going to egg you on a little bit.
I'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. They all think they're so great.
Dan Hampton is always brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's bring in the Hall of Famer, number 99, the Danimal. It is Dan Hampton. Merry Christmas. What did your wife get you for Christmas this year?
I got boots. Hey, guess what? Snow's coming. It won't be long. I'll need it.
The million-dollar question, Hamp, is did you golf yesterday?
No, I did not. I did Monday, though. No, my buddies did yesterday. If you remember, Thursday is Pro Football Weekly taping day. So I've always got to be in the studio with Hub Arcus and Dave Wonstead. So, yeah, we go underground. But listen, I was sitting here thinking about this before you brought me on. This is the last Friday of the decade. Wow.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, this is a decade of dunces is what we've had to deal with talking about the Bears now. Think about it. You know, the New England Patriots were named the sports story of the decade, winning their sixth Super Bowl a year ago. And I think we made the playoffs once the entire decade. That's a shame.
Wow. New England won their 11th straight AFC East title. You would think that the most storied franchise in all of football, the Chicago Bears, would have more than one.
Well, and you know, I don't know if you heard about it, but they replayed the 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears, greatest team in NFL. You know, 100 years were the greatest team. But think about that. We only went and won one Super Bowl. You know, I mean, the rhyme and reason of this game is crazy, but it's obvious if you look at, you know, the common denominators of the New England Patriots. They have a very, very smart coach, and they have a very capable quarterback. Now, everything else has changed. Coaches, players, everything. But those are the common denominators. And are you confident that we have a very, very, very smart coach and a very gifted quarterback as we sit here today? So, again, as we sit here on the last Friday of the decade, we want another decade like this. So, we'll see.
I told everybody that I'm in here on Sundays with you and OB, and I see you watching the games, and I hear the screaming, and I see the screaming, and I'm deathly afraid of OB. You're passionate about the Bears. You played for this franchise. People forget that OB won a championship in 63 with the Bears. You won the Super Bowl. You guys care about this franchise, and it makes you angry to see a team like this year.
Aristotle said, tolerance and apathy are the last two virtues of a dying society. So are we ready to just relegate the Bears to, you know, the anonymity of the of all time and say, hey, you know, that was our time back in the day, you know, back in the 60s and then the 80s, and then now we're irrelevant, and it's okay, we'll just let it go. No, we're not going to let it go. No, the fans are the greatest in all of pro football on any planet, and at the end of the day, they deserve better. They deserve more. And you know what? So much of the time we hear this doublespeak and this nonsense, the gobbledygook, and it just makes us it just drives us crazy, because we come from an era where, hey, men make things happen in the game of football. I'm not trying to be sexist or anything else. You got to get out there and make it happen, and we haven't done that. And, you know, until we realize that's how it's going to be changed and that's how it's going to have to be dealt with, we're going to stumble around in circles again.
I never thought that we'd hear Dan Hampton quote Aristotle on this show, but that's fantastic.
Oh, I love him.
Hamp, we're going to check weather, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you two questions that I asked Adam Hogue yesterday. Does Matt Nagy need to relinquish calling plays next season? And number two, do you sign Mitch Trubisky to an extension? Hold that thought, and then I'll ask you one thing to change in 2020. Andy, I'll ask you that question too. Dan Hampton is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. And when I drive in on Sundays, you have the biggest truck, Chevy truck, that I think I've ever seen.
It's just, you know what? It's just a normal Silverado, and it's fantastic. And after every post game, the great Ed Obradovich gets in it with me, and I take him back to his house. So it's big, roomy, spacious, and it's great in the winter.
I would love to hear that conversation on the way home after the show. It would just continue in the car, in the truck. Wow. All right, here are the questions that I asked Adam Hogue, the Bears insider, yesterday, and I'll ask you. Question number one, should Matt Nagy relinquish calling plays next season?
Should have done it halfway through the year. You know, look, the quarterback languished. He didn't understand what's going on. So you got to have somebody else from a different perspective call plays and design plays that are more favorable to what this kid is capable of doing. We all know that he struggles with processing. He can't read defenses. He can't get into the right play. You almost have to prepare him with, you know, like a cheat sheet and say, this is what we're going to do. Well, the cheat sheet that Nagy prepared this year did not work. We're 31st in the league in offense, so yes, we should have done had a change, and it should have happened probably in October.
Andy, do you agree?
I agree completely. It's stubbornness. It comes down to, I think, ego at that point.
Yep.
You know, be you,
yep.
Be someone else, you know? I mean, give the kid a chance.
How about be competent?
Yeah.
Be competent.
Yes.
Do you sign Mitch Trubisky to an extension?
No, hell no. And look, folks, there's a reason why there's, you know, quarterbacks are so hard to find. It's a tough job. Nobody said it's easy, but there's no sense in locking yourself up with somebody that isn't capable of becoming a special player until they prove it. And this kid hasn't proved it. You know, we've seen glimpses when everything falls just right, and the offense is, and Nagy has been able to come up with a couple of plays and certain sequences, and you know, things have worked out. But when you're playing against the Packers in Green Bay, and you've got to be able to find a way to score more than one touchdown,
yep,
and he is incapable of doing that, you don't sign him until he proves he can.
Yeah, no chance that you sign him to a long-term extension and get yourself more committed because, you know, the jury's out. I mean, the jury is completely out on a first-round pick.
So you got to get a free agent to back him up, yeah, or somebody something that can take the reins, yeah, when he doesn't do it next season. And what's...
Well, but see, that is what a lot of really smart people would do. What are we going to do? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, in the day that they sign a quarterback,
yep,
Bridgewater is going to be an $80 million four-year deal. I mean, he's not coming cheap, but if you grab something off the rack, whether it's Fitzpatrick or it's, Marcus Mariota or some of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the moment you sign that, you're basically saying, hey, you know, I don't believe this kid, and that means that Ryan Pace made a mistake, and they've joined like into a circle where they're never going to admit making a mistake. So
you're
it's
right.
Going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
It's going to be tough. 2020. What's the one thing you would change? The first thing you would change with the Chicago Bears?
Quarterback and offensive coordinator.
Andy?
What we just talked about.
Yeah, I think that goes a little higher. I mean, I think it goes to the GM's office because you look at some of the decisions that have been made. Adam Shaheen drafted high above several other guys that are very, very capable in a tight end kind of driven offense. There's been a lot of mistakes. There's not a lot of depth, too. We've seen a lot of problems have with injuries, too, and guys not being able to fill those spots.
And, it's history, but how do you sign Mike Glennon for $17 million guaranteed,
yeah, oh,
and then move up in the draft and draft this kid? I mean, right there, that's not a fender bender. That is like four totals of a car wreck in about 3 weeks.
That
and
is so
I don't,
true.
I don't know how you, but yet he's still the golden child. Well, so, I don't think you're going to find a way to, pry him out of there.
Well, the Khalil Mack deal saved his job.
But did it? That was the deal. And remember, Oakland couldn't pay him.
Yep.
And just so everybody knows, Oakland and Mark Davis, the owner, the genius, thinks that John Gruden is the answer to all, NFL questions. So he signed John Gruden. Gruden said, I'll do it for $100 million. A 10-year, $100 million guaranteed contract. Now, when you guarantee a contract, it's not you write your name, I promise to pay.
Right.
You got to put $100 million in an account. And when it came time to Khalil Mack, they didn't have no money to guarantee it. And so you do what you have to do. That's why they got rid of Amari Cooper.
Yep.
They couldn't sign him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Dallas got him. At the end of the day, they had to unload their really good players. And we were just standing there with a checkbook. And so it didn't take no great shakes to make that deal happen. But we had to give up two number ones. I can't remember a three and a four and all this other. Now, at the end of the day, and think about all the draft picks we had to trade for the quarterback, Trubisky, to move up that one spot. So if you look at the wasted draft capital that we had to give up to acquire these two players, boy, I tell you what, it changes the direction of a franchise for the next decade. So, Ryan Pace, this is all on his watch, on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
We're still, going to watch and see how this all plays out, but it was a miserable year that started because of their arrogance. They thought they had done something special last year,
yeah,
when they really hadn't. Hey, they got in the playoffs and got their butts beat, and yet they strutted around. So we'll see if they have a little comeuppance here and they realize they got to go to work for it every day, just like they do in New England with Tom Brady.
Andy?
Do you think, after a little internal retrospection, I guess, with Nagy after the season, does he have it in him to go ahead and say, okay, yeah, this season kind of got away from us. Yeah, maybe we were a little arrogant. Does he have that in him to kind of admit that, first of all, to himself,
no,
and then go about changing it next year?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, he, so see, again, We all have certain moments in our life where we have delusions of grandeur. And most of us, after a little while, we realize, hey, we're out there on the edge. We've got to, you know, get off the ledge. Well, they never did. And all year long, time after time after time after time, where we could have made corrections and done some things that would have gave us a chance to stay in it and be able to make the playoffs, we never did it. It was almost like we thought we were, you know, crowned, and, you know, just there was a reason why Dennis Green of the Arizona Cardinals went crazy that night when the Bears were able to come back and beat them on Monday Night Football so many years ago. And he went crazy saying, if you think they're the greatest thing, crown them. But we know who they are. In other words, what he was saying was, they ain't that good, but they got really lucky. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so somehow, some way, the defense won 11 out of 12 games last year, and Matt Nagy got Coach of the Year, and he became, you know, deluded into thinking that every decision he made was going to be great. It wasn't. So now we've got 6 months to kind of refigure this thing and realize we made a lot of mistakes, and people have to atone for it.
Bears at the Vikings Sunday. Give me a score.
Bears win. Vikings are going to rest everyone. It doesn't matter. 20 to 10, Bears win. And OB and I will be on from 7 until 9 doing a season-ending wrap-up.
Oh, boy.
So make sure you tune in, Pete. We're going to have a lot of fun.
I will be here. You're following me on Sunday. That's going to be a rough one. Wow.
Well, good. Bring your cot so you can lay in there and listen to it.
I wrote Bears win 20 to 10. I'm showing Andy what I wrote on a piece of paper. We have the same score. Andy, who are you taking?
I'll take the Bears. I'll take it into a lower scoring game, 17 to 10.
17 to 10. Yeah. Okay. Hamp, we'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you so much.
All right. Happy New Year, and see you Monday.
All right. That is Dan Hampton, number 99, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. All right. Thanks again to ChevyDriveChicago.com. We want to thank Mike and Ellie Hillstrom, who've been great supporters of this radio station. Dan Hampton, wound up.
Yeah, and I don't blame him.
Wound up. I'm telling you, Sunday is going to be a rough one around here.
It's
entertaining radio.
You know, win or lose, it's always entertaining radio. And this week will be no exception, especially after he's talked about, you know, wrapping up the season that was. And the season that was should be the season that never was.
When you walk in here on Sundays, they have a spread for about 50 people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Hamp, his son, Little Dan, who is about 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then OB with a big 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And then the screaming starts as soon as the game starts.
The passion.
It just
explodes. It overflows.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Christopher Knight. You remember him as Peter Brady. You remember him from The Surreal Life. He will be stopping by today. Think about your favorite Brady episode.
Got so many.
What comes to mind? Davy Jones right away, but that didn't involve him. Pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah, I'm talking
about him.
Mom's favorite vase. Don't play ball in the house.
Right? Yeah, definitely. So he'll be coming by. 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. On the phone with us, Dean is off today, Josh Hill from fansided.com. I'm laughing, Josh, because I did a quick whip around in the studio asking anyone if they saw the movie Cats. I don't know anyone that said they've seen the movie Cats, nor do they want to see it.
No, but you probably should, because it's so bad that it's one of those movies that you just need to experience to see if it's actually as bad as it is, which it really is. And there's some genuinely awful things in that movie. How this movie got made, it's a lot like Heaven's Gate in the late 70s, where you've got a lot of great people coming together for a really big box office bomb. There's a ton of famous people in this movie, and I have no idea why any of them signed up for it after seeing it. It's incredible.
Well, what is the premise of the movie? You have cats, right? And the cats are introduced, and that's it?
Pretty much. It's basically a series of introductions. It's basically a revolving door of, oh, that famous person, oh, that famous person, except as a cat. So it really doesn't make any sense. There's also a sequence in there involving animated cockroaches, which is probably one of the most terrifying horror scenes I've ever seen in my life. And it's not an intentional horror scene, which makes it even better. It's genuinely unsettling. I don't know how this movie got made, but you should go see it. Just so you can say that you experienced it in 10 years when we're looking back on this.
Oh, my God.
And saying, wow,
do you remember Cats? You'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw that in the theaters. And then you'll be one of the brave souls who went and actually experienced this on the big screen.
I'm not a musical guy, but people are like, hey, you know, you'll enjoy musicals. Cats is really great. So there's a cat on stage. They introduce the cat on stage, and then the cat breaks in the song. Everything that I hate. I don't really understand why I would enjoy that and why I would enjoy it on the big screen. I just don't know.
it's a puzzling one. Also, Idris Elba wears fur as a cat. So there's a real weird moral quandary going on there where if he's a cat, but he's wearing fur, that's like a human wearing skin. I'm really confused.
Okay.
But hey, go see it. Enjoy the madness. And you're one of the lucky ones who... we're able to endure it.
One of the movies that I want to see, Adam Sandler has a dramatic role. I saw the trailer, I want to say, on Kimmel, or maybe it was Fallon, one of those late night shows, and it looks really good. And I love Adam Sandler, just a likable guy.
Yeah, Uncut Gems is, I want to say it's Adam Sandler's comeback, but I don't think he really went anywhere. Like, to the critics, he's always been kind of a goofy guy. He's Happy Gilmore. He's the water boy. He's Big Daddy.
Right.
But about 10, 15 years ago, he did Punk Drunk Love, which was a good dramatic turn. And that came right when Jim Carrey was doing the same thing. Will Ferrell did the same thing. These funny guys, these comedic actors, they're really good dramatic actors, too. And we forget that sometimes when Adam Sandler's up there singing as Opera Man on SNL. He's a really good actor. And Uncut Gems really reminds us of that. And there's a scene in the trailer where he says, come on, give me another chance. That's him speaking directly to us. Directly to everybody who's dogged him over the last 20, 30 years in his movie career,
right.
Saying, oh, that's just the guy who wants to make movies because he wants to go to Hawaii or he wants to go to Africa. He's turning in a very great performance here, an Oscar-worthy performance, and it would be really cool to see him get some sort of Oscar nomination because I don't know if it's going to happen.
Right.
But kind of as a career recognition, you know how Matthew McConaughey kind of got honored by the Academy by saying, hey, you're actually pretty good at this, even though you turned in a pretty rotten decade.
Right.
Seeing Adam Sandler at the Oscars would be really great, and it would be completely, completely worth it and worthy, because Uncut Gems is an incredible movie and an incredible performance.
Were the Golden Globe nominations, I'm sure they're out, because the Golden Globes are in, what, 2.5 weeks or so?
Yes.
So he didn't get nominated for that. Did the movie come out after the nominations, or in between, or how does that work, do you know?
No, he didn't get nominated for that. They switched the category he was going to be eligible in at the last minute. It was a long shot to begin with, but they switched him from musical and comedy to drama,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of tanked his chances, which doesn't bode well for his chances to get nominated for an Oscar.
Right.
But kind of like how we're going to look back in 10 years on Cats and say, oof, how did that happen? We may very well be looking back in 10 years on the Adam Sandler Uncut Gem role and saying, how did he not get nominated for an Oscar for this?
Right.
Like it's a fantastic, and it's so surprising because it's Waterboy up there turning in a fantastic performance.
Yes.
There's so many layers to what Adam Sandler's doing. And at the end of the day, it's Adam Sandler doing it, and everybody loves him.
Dramatic role. Fansided.com is the website, Josh Hill. Josh, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you too, Pete. Anytime.
All right. That is Josh. Love him. Great guy. In for Dean. Dean will be back on Monday. Joining us in studio, in 1969, he played a TV character that's followed him for 50 years. I didn't want to play the whole theme for you. HGTV's A Very Brady Renovation, huge hit, and who knew he could fix houses? Let's welcome in the studio. It's Chris Knight. It's good to see you, man.
If they could only fix me.
Yeah, thank you.
You could actually, I mean, we talked on the phone when this debuted, but as I watched, you know how to fix stuff.
You know, I've built a few. Yeah, I don't necessarily take it from its foundation to its finished product. I point at things and tell others what to do.
Okay.
I mean, I can swing a hammer. I just prefer to work a different job.
Okay.
On the site.
Yes, you don't want to do the hard work. But the HGTV show was a huge hit for you guys. You were everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the time is ripe, Brady. There seems to be always a cycle, like a 7-year, 9-year cycle for Brady. Like, Brady digestion, we're ready for it again after 9 years. And particularly since it's like, we're like a warm blankie.
Mm-hmm.
When things get a little turbulent and upside down, you know, bring in the Bradys to make us feel better.
That is true.
Like an old slipper.
That is true. You are my favorite Brady, by the way.
Thank you.
And the most successful, I have to say.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I'm not sure what scale you're weighing that under, but...
Well, can we run through the family real quick? Barry, sure. Who played Greg, is kind of a hustler. He'll do anything, right?
You know, hustlers are probably, artful hustler. Yeah, he hustles Brady, and always has.
Yeah,
he turned it into an art form.
Maureen, who plays,
but Barry's a good friend, and he is right. a really charming, nice gentleman. So, I give him props.
Maureen, who plays Marcia, just love her. Follow her on Instagram. She's
everybody's
a likeable
first
person.
Crush.
Yeah. Everybody's crush. She still looks great.
She does look great.
She
takes very very good care of herself, and still plugging along. It works all the time. So
really,
yeah.
Eve, who played Jan, after watching the HGTV show, she seems like the mother hen of the group now. Am I wrong on that?
You know,
very conservative.
No, she did step out. I wouldn't say that she's. It's interesting because she's got these. She's conservative, but not conservative. I mean, she's very avant-garde, artistic.
Okay.
But conservative in her personal presentation. You're absolutely right about that.
Okay.
I don't think she's a very deep thinker. You know, she moved back to New York and chose to endeavor in theater.
Okay.
I mean, it is a better environment for actors. I mean, in that it's an actor's medium.
Sure. Immediate gratification right away. You got the audience in front of you.
And, yeah. You know, she wouldn't do Brady stuff. I mean, I've said yes to them all. She has said,
you'll do anything for money.
And she
I'm
has
okay
said no to them all.
Really?
And she and I are pretty close. But truly understanding what motivated that became very clear with doing the renovation.
You're close. You were both the middle children on the show. Is that right. Why you became close or just personalities?
You know, we're all close. But I respect Eve a great deal because she is her own person. And that gets big points with me.
Okay.
She's not trying to copy anybody. And she'll stand her ground. She's a very strong woman with an opinion. And again, that gets some points. And she doesn't suffer fools gladly. So I kind of feel like as long as I'm on her good side, I guess I can't be too foolish. You know, I gauge myself by
right.
virtue of the fact that I can call her a friend. But she doing the renovation show. The reason that this wasn't a problem to say yes to is because she didn't have to play Jan.
Right.
It's interesting because she's not. Yeah. She's being herself.
Yeah.
And in her real life, she owns a number of properties and has renovated up to 10, I think, at this point. So she's big into flea markets and sort of old school, what do you call that, collector stuff. I'm into
antiques.
Yeah. I'm into if it's a technology. Okay. I mean, I remember going to a home that she'd put together, renovated out on Laguna Beach, and here was a stove from like the 30s. I'm thinking, I mean, all newly painted and all, looking like a car from the 30s that was well kept. But I'm thinking, I guess I'm not a car collector. I want the brand new Lexus.
Right, of course.
I want the Tesla that I got. I want something new technology.
You want the new thing.
Yeah.
You played Peter Brady 50 years ago, and here we are talking about it.
Really?
50 years ago,
was
right?
That, was that 50 years ago?
1969,
like that, yeah.
Right? 50 years ago? Am I doing my math correctly?
Yeah, no, you got it right.
50 years ago, and we're still talking about it today.
It's weird. I mean, television... only has like a 75-year history.
Jeez, you're right.
Yeah.
You've been around forever.
At the time, it was like, television started a long time ago, and now here we are. And now it's like, no, we've carried it through 2/3 of its life.
Right.
And reruns were just
constantly
incredible for it. Yeah,
of course.
You can see it anywhere.
Well, forever. It's never been off, so.
Well, before the show, Andy and I were talking, going through a few things. And what did you say where you saw Chris Knight? Where did you see him?
Oh, I saw on That 70s Show.
The big kiss with Barry.
Exactly.
Yeah, you
right.
kissed Barry.
That was great. It was a lot of fun.
Kissing Barry? Did he shave that day?
The writing. Mm-hmm. Once you get some really clever writing, it's our stuff was what it was, and it played very well for kids, but it would be hard, to make a living or feeling fulfilled doing that sort of I can understand Bob's problem with the stuff he had to do. It wasn't it was what it was, and you know, there's not a whole lot of nourishment there for a real actor,
right? You're talking about Robert Reed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who didn't really? He was a dramatic actor, right?
Yeah, he was an Emmy nominated actor at that point, already off The Defenders. Matter of fact, he had had such a career that right after the way that the genesis of the Bradys worked was that Robert Reed filled in for or came in to Broadway to take over the role in Barefoot in the Park from Robert Redford, who had originated the role.
What?
And then that television, and now Neil Simon's becoming a huge thing in the mid late 60s, and turning that show now into a series bought by Paramount.
Okay.
And it was then they were starring Robert Reed, penned him to be the lead in Barefoot in the Park as it goes to series. Now, at the last minute, they decide, and this is really, progressive thinking back then, they decide to go African-American with the show and remove Bob from it. Now he's, has a contract with Paramount, and they got to find another show or thinking they, where can we plug him? And then they plug him from a Neil Simon show into a Brady Bunch, a Sherwood Schwartz, who did Gilligan's Island kind of show.
Right.
So right from the get-go, but then they throw a lot of money at him, more than he would have made in Barefoot in the Park, to make it palatable.
Okay.
And so, he was a giant figure in our lives, protector, father figure.
Sure.
Role model. All the right stuff. Now, he might not have enjoyed doing the work that he was doing, and we wouldn't have known. I didn't know about it, not at the time. Now we hear about it from stories that are told. But he was a wonderful, a wonderful person in my life. So, it's the work. Eve has the same issue. She has to play Jan again. You can't play eight years old your entire life.
I get it. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to check news, and we're going to talk some more. Okay, and you're going to introduce me to your beautiful wife here, who's from Chicago.
I will do that.
Who brought you in the studio here, Christopher Knights? You fell in love with him as Peter Brady. There's so much more to your life about the software stuff that I'm going to get to, too, when you got away from that and then came back to the Brady Bunch. So we all do the same thing. We love the Bradys. We break up with the Bradys. We come back to the Bradys. Yes.
Bradys is like background noise. It's like a ringing in the ears.
20 WGN in studio with us, Christopher Knight. You fell in love with him as Peter Brady. Do you remember when we met?
No.
I did a television story with you at Portillo's, and I feel like beef sandwiches bring people together. And when I get together with somebody...
In town here.
Yeah, in town.
It's coming back.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
When I get together with somebody, I always ask for their phone number, and you're like, how about my email? You wouldn't give me your number. And then finally, over the years, you finally passed it on. It's like, I don't know about that. Do you want to introduce this beautiful woman next to you from Chicago?
This is the beautiful Kara Knight. She grew up in the western suburbs.
Western suburbs. Westmont, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Grew up in Westmont. Nice.
Luckily and surprisingly met her on a New Year's Eve in 2012.
Where did you guys meet?
11 to 12, right? At a friend's house. I was not wanting to be at home. I, had gone through a divorce and was in the separated stage yet, hadn't, really gone through completely. Wasn't expecting to meet anybody and met Kara, who wasn't really into being met.
What does that mean?
It was perfect.
You weren't ready to meet anybody?
No.
And you're thinking in your head, I'm talking to Peter Brady. I don't want to make out with him.
No,
I just don't want to.
Well, she had...
I don't want to do this.
She probably had some preconceived notions that...
I had no desire. No.
Yeah.
No.
That were a little bent.
Bent, yeah.
What was his opening line? Hey, I know Barry Williams.
I think it was that.
Yeah. Can you sit on my other side? I can't hear through that ear. That's probably how she warmed up to me.
And you got married here in Chicago.
We did.
We did on the greatest, happiest day in Chicago's history. I mean, if you take the Chicago Fire as sort of a low day,
yeah.
Well, what's the highest day?
When the Bears won the Super Bowl or the Cubs.
Well, that was a pretty high day, but the stress wasn't as great for the Bears. We had a sort of a winning tradition.
Okay.
Your other team.
Game 7?
Well, that would have been a good. Would have been the beginning of it, but the celebration for it.
Oh,
the weekend of.
Okay.
So we got married November 5th, 2016, the day after the parade.
Oh, wow.
But knowing that when they won it, I said to Carrie, I go, there's going to be a parade.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably going to be this weekend. And we're getting married on a boat.
Okay.
To Sable Harbor, and we're going to have to get to it. Obviously, also trying to predict where they're going to have the parade.
Yeah. Michigan, I love that right? You're worried about traffic. Here's a guy from LA.
We've got to get people to the boat,
yeah,
right?
You've got to get people to your wedding.
Wedding day is a big planned day, you know, and things need to. I'm already worried about the weather, for crying out loud. Why are you getting married, you know, in Lake Michigan in November? But it all worked out because great weather. And there was 5 million people the day before in the streets, and luckily they were gone by the next day, so we could get to the boat.
Oh, that's nice. It's fabulous. It all worked out.
And the feeling in the town was just so warm inviting.
Yeah. Everybody was happy.
Everybody's in a good old mood.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had an election a couple weeks later, and everything changed.
I want to get to some of these text messages while you're here, because they're just pouring in. 630 area code, ask Chris if there was any off-screen romance with Alice and Sam on the Brady Bunch.
Hey, is that a question, or are you going to ask that question? There was
none
that I know of. But then again, I'm like, you know, 12-year-old. What am I going to know?
Andy Davis couldn't cook in real life, right?
She didn't cook.
Yeah,
think about Anne. Anne was a consummate professional and a comedian, but she wasn't a comedian. And comedy was deadly serious for her. And she worked on a level that was very adult.
Okay.
Children kind of ran counter to that. I mean, there is an old saying in show business, you never, as an actor, you don't work with children or dogs.
Right.
Or animals. Of any kind. Because they steal the scene. Because they don't really know what they're doing. And they don't have to. You know, they're just cute. So you have to work like hell to, you know, to keep up with them.
Okay.
So just don't even compete with them. You know, she might have had that opinion of us coming on in, but ultimately she was outnumbered by us. So, you know, we all learned a great deal about our craft from her. And I'm not sure how much we made her job harder by having, you know, the kind of fun and, you know, that kids have.
Right.
You know, that kid energy. I know that I was a little hyperactive and probably took it a little too far.
Do you ever want to punch Oliver in the neck? Cousin Oliver?
I had no problem with Oliver. I know Barry did.
Really?
Barry was tremendously offended that there was an Oliver. Somehow the equation was he was taking time from Barry being Johnny Bravo.
So the pie fight got a little serious in that episode?
Yeah. Probably.
We'll ask you about Tiger the dog when we come back. We have to
check
weather. Christopher Knight is here with his wife, Kara.
Girl, look what you've done to me.
Come on, I had to play it.
I was a huge Monkees fan. Were you really? Yeah, who wouldn't have been, you know, back in the late 60s?
It's nice. Christopher Knight is here. You remember him as Peter Brady, also his wife, Kara, the pride of Westmont, Illinois. It's nice. Davy Jones, was that a big deal when he came on set at the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were some, like Imogene Coco. I mean, I didn't know who Imogene was, you know, so there were some, you know, stars. I mean, personally, for me, Deacon Jones,
you know, was huge
because I'm a homer and was a Rams fan. So,
by the way, West did Parker, you shake his hand? His hands were like two hands put together.
I'll show you an image I've got.
He came in the studio, you know, late in his life, and his hands were humongous.
Just huge.
But that's when the day when they'd punch helmets, so his pinky would go sideways and one finger would go the other way.
But I was all for two or something at the time, so everybody's hands seemed to be, you know,
right,
a lot bigger than mine at the time. So I the appreciation for how much bigger his hands weren't from an adult perspective. But I remember having a handshake with Magic Johnson. Same thing. I think his fingers were up to my elbow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, that's a big hand.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Favorite episode or favorite guest star?
Well, I mean, you know, can't rule out Joe Namath or Don Drysdale. Oh, Wes Parker, the old first baseman for the Dodgers, was in there once.
Yeah, so. Just sports sort of centered kid. So those were bigger excitements to me. And what's interesting is too is the differences of the shows behind the scenes really drove a lot of your experience or our experience. And on the Davy Jones episode, I didn't work much. So my interaction with Davy was limited because I was in school. Maureen had all the interactions.
Right. So you went to school when you didn't tape Brady Bunch.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was a window into the set as you're reading your book so you can watch what's going on. No, you're sort of sequestered offset and going to school.
815 area code, Christopher Knight, even though Partridge Family and Brady Bunch seem trite to a seasoned actor, for kids like us, it gave us hope and insight to a different way of life.
Absolutely.
And fun.
And that's where it has to, you know, that's the appreciation, the outpouring of love that I get all the time, and the recognition of its importance, because it really is, it's aspirational. After 50 years of this, it's almost like I'm a psychologist through being a Brady. But the reality is we work with kids that are latchkey, that have no family.
Right.
Right? We become surrogates. They're a member of our family. We're a member of their family. They're adopted in their mind. And we supply them family. And then at the same time, we work just as well with a family of 12 kids. Like, you know, Colbert, you know, had, you know, 11 kids in his family, and they were Brady fans because we sort of paralleled their lives.
Right. So, I come from a family of 12 kids. It was the same thing. I would come home from school, and I would fold newspapers when they had an afternoon paper route. We'd watch the Brady Bunch, and then we'd go deliver papers.
And I have, personally, a really unique and strange relationship offset from the Braves. My mom hated it because she was an artist and it was sort of trite, so she has that opinion. And here I am with all these people that are giving me sort of a warm environment and appreciation and a validation and all these other things I'm not getting at home. At home was a disaster compared to this thing that we're portraying on television. And I'm thinking to my mom, like, what's wrong with it? You know, what's wrong with having, really, at the time, I didn't have the words to put together, but it was, what's wrong with having a functional family? They do exist. And don't tell me they don't. And if they don't exist, they should exist. So I understand perfectly well what the power of the Brady.
Was there a time where you just wanted to put the Brady Bunch behind you and you didn't want anyone to bring it up?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was an epiphany at the end of that, and it didn't take too long, luckily, because I didn't have to drag along that anvil for too long. It was like you become a young man, and all of a sudden you want to move on to other things, and you got this thing you did as a kid that's dragging behind you, and you kind of want it to disappear.
I mentioned this earlier. You did the Brady Bunch, but you're the most successful Brady, okay, in real life. You went on to software, many startups. You made a lot of money.
Software and hardware.
Hardware, yes. HGTV, this was a huge hit. How do you capitalize on that and do another show for HGTV?
I don't know. It could be a unicorn. You know, it's really hard to duplicate a show like this. I think that the way that it came together was a surprise for them. They bought a house before they had an idea on what the show would be surrounding that house. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way you produce a successful show. But in this particular case, they bought it. They had a meeting with us because they didn't really understand or know anything about Brady. They just asked to meet with us. And in meeting with us, I tell them that it was August of 2017. I go, you know, we all know each other now. In 2 months, it'll be 50 years. And that was a year before, because we did the pilot in September and October of 68. So I said, next year is the 50th anniversary. And they looked at me like with these wide eyes, like
they're like, you're making the,
like they're trying not to be surprised, but they're like inside
in their eyes.
It's like, really? So they stumbled upon this. The timing of it worked out. And then just the attitude, just the general malaise out there and discomfort that people have with people. And the Bradys come along and they sort of make people okay and everything's going to be solved in, you know, half an hour.
Well, seeing the entire cast on the Today Show and how you all still get along from 50 years ago, it's just great. It makes us feel good.
Right. And that's, and you know, sometimes we lose sight of this until we're all back together. It was always a wonder to me, a question that always came is, do you see the others? But in doing this, the excitement that people had that we were all working together, it was something that we had to stop and take notice of. And what is that saying about what their view is of us, and that is they want to see us together because
it's a
continuation of the family, even though it wasn't real. It's there's hope in that for people. So we actually represent something tangible to a lot of millions of people.
God, this is deep. Yeah. You're right. Seriously. I mean, when you think about it, you do give us hope. The Brady Bunch gives people hope and happiness.
Yeah, it starts at home, but I think it goes beyond that. And there's, I think people have, to some degrees, needed now.
Oh, boy.
Need somewhere to look.
Yes, definitely so. By the way, you and I have two things in common. You did an episode of Mannix.
And you raised pigeons. No.
How'd you know that?
I met Mannix. I had him on my show back in the day.
Mike Connors. Yeah.
He was a stud.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah.
And you and I both appeared on The Love Boat.
Really?
You appeared on the original one. I appeared on Love Boat The Next Wave. Robert Urich was the captain. They rebooted it, I want to say, in 2002. He's a, you know, he's a Chicago guy.
I didn't know Urich was.
He came and he did my show and I'm like, hey, I want to be on The Love Boat. I swear to you, 2 days later, his assistant called and he's like, we got everything booked. You're coming out to L.A.
It's nice to know people in the right places, right?
But they made me sign a waiver that said you can't tell anyone that The Love Boat's not a boat. There was no boat. We were on set. Were you on a boat?
Well, you know, The Love Boat originally was on a boat as a way of advertising, and it was from Love Boat that cruising became a huge... It hadn't to that point been... It was something that rich people did, but not everybody.
Okay.
And it exposed people to what cruising was, and America found comfort in it after that.
But, were you on an episode with Charo and Scott Baio? Look at your wife cracking up.
I've met Char. Charo did our variety show.
What variety show? Oh, you had a Brady variety
show. And she was
what
one
year
of our
was
guests.
That? 70 what?
There's a funny story, but I'm not sure I can talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Charo was great, but no, Dana Plato was who I played against in my Love Boat.
Okay,
so.
Did you kiss her? It was probably a kissing scene. You're about the same age. I know she's passed away.
I would have remembered that. I don't think we did. Okay. Yeah.
Now, you guys are flying out. You have your luggage here. Thank you for coming by. So, Kara, when you're walking through Midway today, are you going to hear people scream out, Peter Brady? How often does that happen?
It does happen. And
wait. This happened downstairs.
Okay.
You do. This
is your, your security.
All right. What did he say?
I didn't give him my name.
Peter Brady.
I didn't give him that.
You have to get up in the building. They give you a pass, a sticker pass, and it says Peter Brady on it.
He types that in.
That is so funny. Let me take a picture of that. Put that on Instagram. That's awesome.
So that's sort of the subtlety. They don't yell it out, but they're thinking it.
Can I get a gift certificate for a Barca Lounger, Christopher Knight Barca Lounger? You're in furniture. How did that happen?
Barca Lounger is a brand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
You want a gift certificate?
Yeah.
We don't do those either.
Do you know furniture?
Yes, I do now, more so than when I began. But interestingly, my mom was an artist. My grandfather was in the fabrics industry. My dad, studied to be an architect when he had to build the sets at his college, and that's when he got introduced to acting. So he's the inverse of Mike Brady, an actor playing an architect. Right. He made all our own furniture. So that's where the building of the houses and stuff, comes from. My dad's a contractor. My brother's a contractor. Mom an artist. So, yeah, the whole aesthetic and stuff is sort of part of what I grew up with.
Okay.
And I never saw this coming, being in the furniture world, but it was presented to me by one of my high-tech business partners who himself found himself in that industry, invited me in to do something. And I thought, oh, we'll give it a shot, You never know what sticks. And I thought he was crazy, and it stuck, and it stuck well. And it keeps doing well. I mean, the fact is, I like to say, people are still sitting down.
You See, you're a forward thinker. I don't think Barry's doing this. And, I'll just stick with the appearances. I know you love him.
I do.
Yes.
I sell him a chair.
Well, thank you for coming in. Before you go, I'm getting text messages here. Favorite episode that sticks out?
Well, Hawaii. For us, it's the experience of doing the show.
You got a free trip to Hawaii.
If I take that off, the experience part off, and I just watch it from an audience's perspective,
The
show,
volcano?
Well, I love any moment where I, you know, in person and watching, where I, you know, sort of get more, I like to call it dirty, yeah, quite literally, in the volcano, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, that, or throwing the football, which they let me actually throw the football, because the guy throwing it couldn't hit her nose, and I was particularly good at it.
Right.
And still am.
Yes.
It's nice. Weird.
This is John Williams. He's taking over in 30 seconds. This is Chris Knight. Say hello,
hello
to
John.
Chris,
oh, I know
right
who
here.
This is.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, the left-handed shake, too.
It's all downhill from here.
It is. It really is.